take a listen to this. This is Barbara Walters in America, right?
Next is a young woman who moved from Nashville to New York this year and seems bent on global domination. Her parents named her after James Taylor, and her fans are called Swifties. If you haven't guessed her name by now, you are clearly living under a very large rock. One magazine headline said it best, Taylor Swift is the music industry.
Well, okay, fair enough. You just heard American TV journalist Barbara Walters there introducing Taylor Swift in an interview she did with the pop star last month as one of her 10 most interesting people of 2014. Once a sweet but rather goofy young country singer, Taylor Swift is now a global music phenomenon. An anomaly, I suppose, in an industry that's been in decline. She's quite possibly the biggest star in pop music right now, but how did all this happen? And what is the attraction? Why are so many people who really should know better proud to call themselves Swifties? One such person is journalist Larissa Nolan, who is out and out proud, a Taylor Swift fan. Larissa, how are you doing?
How are you, Dave? How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Her music, first of all, Taylor Swift is the music industry? What does that mean?
Well, this was a phrase that was coined by the business magazine. I think it's called Bloomberg Business. So they put her on the front page saying Taylor Swift is the music industry, which is true because what they're saying there is that she's the anomaly at the moment in a declining music industry, which I think sales have been in decline since around 2000. And the only artist who's actually whose sales are growing massively is Taylor Swift. Everybody else taking a nosedive. So she's the only one booking the trend. Why is that, is the question.
I mean, like, let's face it, she's a country star from 2006 who's now become a huge pop phenomenon, right? Nothing to do with country anymore.
No, I suppose that's where she started out. And good beginnings, though. I mean, I'd have a lot of respect for her for starting out in country music. I like country music myself. I know not everybody does, but great melody in it, great training. You know, she got a lot of experience songwriting when she was in that kind of business, and a lot of experience performing and just knowing the whole industry. I think that actually possibly maybe the key to why she is so good, you know, that she's had that since she's 16.
But she's a sassy gal as well, isn't she?
She's a sassy gal. She's changed her image, certainly. I remember, like, I can picture very clearly, it seems like yesterday, that she had this, you know, that big crazy long curly hair that looks like a wig that that all these the country stars have, and she looked about 20 years older than she actually was. So she's changed her style. She's become this kind of 1950s very, very stylish young woman, which is great, and that I presume can only help you know, her appeal and her
personality. And she's coming to play here this year as well. I'll just give you a little bit of a blast here of here she is. Like, the whole Spotify thing was huge with Taylor Swift in 2014. Here's just 20 seconds of her talking about that.
To the fans who went out and bought over a million copies of my last three albums, what you did by going out and investing in music and albums is you're saying that you believe in the same thing that I believe in, that music is valuable and that music should be consumed in albums and albums should be consumed as art and appreciated. And I love you so much.
Good old Taylor. I'm with her on that. In fact, funny thing is about Taylor Swift, she's the only person, I think, in the history of the world who had three albums that each of them sold more than a million copies in the first week of release. I don't think anybody else
ever
done that.
I think you might be right in that one. I know for a fact that this recent one did that. Yeah, you're right, I think. Sorry, I should know that. But
right.
This recent one definitely did that, and I know that she kind of fought with her own record company trying to convince them that
she didn't want it to go free on Spotify.
Yeah, she didn't. And I mean, it's amazing to hear why she didn't, which is a lovely reason that albums should be listened in their entirety. And I'd love to hear a 24-year-old, 25-year-old now saying that.
And it's a ploy that worked really well.
Yeah.
Because the album sold in droves.
It did. Absolutely. And it can only be that must have helped it. But I mean, I love the fact as well how she explained it. She wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, which was another really elegant move, I think, of her to do that, you know, and to kind of raise herself amongst kind of an authority in the industry too by doing something like that.
She does sing about boys and love and hope and all the rest of the kind of young female and into 20s female kind of stuff, but by the same token, it's very autobiographical, isn't it? She sings about her own experiences.
Yeah, she does, and it's really honest, and I believe that's why I like her so much, because most people aren't brave enough to do that. You know, most people won't actually put down what they feel. They might put down a kind of you know, something close to it, but she's quite stark sometimes in the things she says, and very succinct in it as well. So, you know, she'll say things like, I mean, I remember when I heard that song, her recent single is Blank Space, and her one of the lines in it is, she's two lines in it, and that looks pretty good, but one of them is, got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane, which is something that a lot of women will probably relate to, but nobody will actually say out straight. So to say that in a single that everybody will hear is just incredibly brave.
I've got to be honest, I have never bought a Taylor Swift album, I've never streamed one, I have never put the needle in the groove, I've never put a CD on. I do know the singles, but I really don't know. Are the albums good?
I think the albums are great. I would be honest, I'd say I've only got some of them. I don't go back to Taylor Country.
She has a bunch, I'll tell you.
Yeah, she does, yeah. And she, you know, a lot of them are probably a little bit too country for me to listen to.
When they went to 2008, 2010 and started streaming, started being more poppy.
I suppose she became more pop probably with the album Red, I think, which is, there's still a really strong country sound of her music. And even this new album, which she says is a complete change for her and was something that, you know, she found a huge change. It's not really, you could put them all back to country, I think, put a bit of banjo on them and change the production and it'd still be country.
But this is the one that's made her stratospheric.
This is the one, because she's changed the whole, it's totally pop, you know, and it's really 80s
pop.
Okay,
a little
brilliant.
Blast. We're talking Taylor Swift here on Blank Space. Okay, here goes.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things. Write your name.
Do you know, a funny thing about her on that level is that, like, the only thing I've never seen her in concert, but I've seen her being interviewed on TV, and that she's good.
Yeah, I know, she's got something. Seems like a nice person, like, very charming.
I'll give you this one here now, and you can ponder this during the news. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you in a second too, because I want to ask you one question. She is that much different to all the other ones we're talking about. She is not any one of the other ones that are out there in terms of singing types. She's got something different that really connects with people.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the thing. You look at your Katy Perry's or, you know, all these other people, it's all very fluffy, I think. But with Taylor, it's just true and it's real. And I think she's genuine. You know, I think that's probably what the difference is really there.
But I'm talking even more about the Faith Hills and the Carrie Underwoods, who really wouldn't like to ruffle any feathers. She doesn't mind ruffling a few feathers lately.
Yeah, and to say, you know, to say quite, that's what I mean, to say quite, are you talking about now as regards relationships? Sort of?
No, as regards things she might say and things she might come out with and why she would or wouldn't vote. And
yeah, well, that's true. She's not afraid to do anything different. Like, she's totally her own person. That's another thing that comes across very, 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 very clearly, I think. She's completely a free thinker, you know, totally independent thinker. That Spotify thing was her own. You know, I mean, she does things of her own, and she doesn't seem to care what other people think. I mean, that's hugely courageous.
Yeah, because there's an awful lot of articles written around the Spotify time, and she came out. Here's one anyway that you can be pondering for the news at 51552. The 2014 Taylor Swift is the best version of herself. This comes in at 51552. She has changed from a girl who denounced feminism to a woman that embraces it. She's becoming a wonderful role model for young women and teens in speaking out against inequality. She constantly gives back, literally, to her fans, and her new mindset is reflected in her music. Much more mature is her latest album. And Blank Space is a wonderful FU to critics of her music, playing to the stereotype the media have created of her.
Well, that's a very good point from that texter, because actually that song is supposed to be, you know, a send-up of the image that she has. But I think while it's a send-up, she's also putting out there some of her truer thoughts in that send-up. So there's kind of two sides to that. But it's her answer to people who say that she only writes boys and she dates one guy after the other and she's had a million boyfriends, you know. But at the same time, she's admitting that it probably is true as well.
Yeah, well, like, for all those who try to say the exact same thing on this programme 2 or 3 years ago about how interesting and fantastic and brilliant Lady Gaga was, which I was going, no thanks. I'd certainly be into the Taylor Swift thing. But then again, as I say, I don't really know her music. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just play a little bit of this, get to the news, and then we'll talk more Taylor Swift after this with Larissa Nolan. Right, 5 minutes past the hour, midday, Larissa Nolan is here, and we are talking still Taylor Swift. So all that stuff that I mentioned there earlier on, how great she is, here's another 51552. She's the new Doris Day, too sickly sweet.
No, not at all. I think actually if she's anything, she might be the new Dolly Parton. You know, because there's a lot of similarities there with the feminist sort of the confidence and the feminism and the girl power, the support, all that kind of stuff, and the brilliant music. So I think that there may be, and the country connection, there's a parallel there between, I think, Dolly.
And the fact that she's a songwriter, of course, as well, which really helps. And a lot of people, like the amount of people coming out from the James Taylors to the Elvis Costellos to the Neil Young, saying how great her songs are and all the rest. And maybe I should check her out a bit better. But look, people are very interested in her love life. She hasn't been particularly private about it in the past, not like some of the people I might have mentioned earlier on there, like Faith Hill or Carrie Underwood or whatever. So, you know, it's in the song lyrics as well, in an Alanis Morissette kind of way. Is that wise?
Well, that's true. I suppose it depends. When you say is that wise, I suppose that depends on what your definition of wise is. Like, if you care what people think about you, I suppose it isn't. But if you don't care, which she apparently doesn't, then sure, it's fine. You know, like, you know, why does she probably just doesn't care that people know about her.
But how confrontational does it get? I mean, like, Joni Mitchell gave us her diary every year as opposed to an album, you know, like hers, it was right out there. But there wasn't any like slagging like an Alanis kind of thing.
Yeah, no, she doesn't seem to do that either. But it's she sometimes the only if I'm to find a fault with her, which I find it hard because she's obviously the perfect woman, is that sometimes she can portray herself a little bit as the victim. But to be honest, I don't think that's probably, you know, really, would you do that if you genuinely felt like you were a victim? I think that she's a man eater. That's my opinion of her. I think she goes through men like water. She doesn't actually care about them.
As in, watch out, here she comes. All right, well, then, yeah. I'll tell you what, then I'll give you a little blast of it here then, because this one is the text here. It says, I only got into her because Kanye dissed her at an award. I almost checked that out. So here's Kanye dissing her at the VMA Awards back in 2009. Who can forget this one?
Yo, Taylor. I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
Oh my God. Oh. Seriously, it's an award ceremony. It's a load of old cack, Sonny.
I know.
Oh my God.
You show her, Kanye. You show the 19-year-old.
Yeah, right, indeed. Yeah. And there's one here that says, check out Saturday Night Live, a Swiftamine sketch. Very funny, says Alan and Claire. I've never seen that.
It's brilliant. Yeah, do check that out. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
All right, okay. So go on, tell me. Hold on, let's just take a look. So the Love Live thing, it's up there. And if you want to find out more about it, just listen to the albums, right?
Well, yeah, there's, you know, if that's your thing, I suppose, you can pick between, let me see all her ex-boys. Friends, I'm trying to think about them. She went out with the gorgeous Jake Gyllenhaal. You know the actor, obviously you do, being a movie man.
I do. Have you seen Nightcrawler?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
I
went to it a bit later than a lot of people and said, yeah, it's pretty good. I thought it was great, and he's just amazing in it. Really,
I'm
weird.
A fan of his as well.
Back to
Donnie Darko. So she chooses well. I mean, he's a good choice. She wrote about him in, I think it was We Are Never Ever Ever Getting Back Together. Can you believe I like this music? This is insane. But anyway, she wrote about him in that song, and she wrote about, who else did she write about? Harry Styles from One Direction was the recent one, which is called I Knew You Were Trouble. And I don't know who Blank Space is about. I suppose it could be about many, because she went out with another couple of well-known people like John Mayer and Connor Kennedy, and she has very many famous.
So she'll write a song about them.
She'll write a song, and she says that she's sick of that joke. She was like, that's so old, you know, that people say to her all the time, be careful of her, she'll write a song about you. But the thing is that she just might, so... This is true.
Well, she wants to be famous. I can prove it.
So I made up this demo CD of me singing karaoke music and went to Nashville with my mom, and she would like park outside record labels, and I would run in and be like, hey, I'm Taylor. I'm 11. I want a record deal. Call me. You know. And that didn't work, obviously. But it did teach me that I needed to be different, you know, mm-hmm. and that they saw that kind of thing every day. And so I went home and I started playing guitar for like 4 hours a day until my fingers were bleeding, and I started writing songs, you mm-hmm. know, and that was really the reason why, you know, I guess I got noticed. I moved to Nashville when I was 13. My family like up and moved across the country to Nashville. And I got a job as a songwriter for Sony ATV Publishing when I was 14.
That is not the accent I've heard her use on TV recently.
No, that's where I just noticed from that. That must be, she must have changed her accent.
Yeah.
Now, I know she's moved to New York, but I don't think your accent changes.
Listen, I jump
like
forward from that thing. The Kanye West hijacking her VMA win for the video thing back 6 years ago now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like 6 years ago, because I remember it. I just remember seeing her standing there afterwards. For me, it wasn't so much what he said. When he stood back, she was left on her own in this gorgeous silvery dress, standing there in front of a watching audience of millions.
Yeah.
And you know, the audience there, and she just looked so alone and so young, and he just looked like, you know, what kind of an arrogant,
what a wally.
Yeah,
I mean,
completely.
A division. Yeah, completely.
So I think he probably, maybe people thought, you know, why is Kanye threatened by this young woman? And I think that it probably worked in her favor that many people then decided to check out her music and say, what's so special about her? What is it about her? you know, we're still trying to figure that out. I don't know what it is really myself, but, you know, obviously I think that a lot of people, when they saw what, you know, what he had done and that he was so angry that she had won this, I think he inadvertently made a lot of people listen to her.
Right. I don't even know what the word means anymore, but does she view herself as a feminist? And if so, how does she define it, or what does she say or do?
Well, I didn't know that she hadn't viewed herself as a feminist. Somebody texted in there earlier on saying that she hadn't. She definitely, yeah, recently she was speaking about other women just defining feminism. I think it was Emma Watson that spoke at one of the UN United Nations meetings, yes, about being a feminist, and Taylor congratulated her on that, saying that she wished that somebody had done that, some famous actress had done that when she was younger, and then she would have understood feminism better and, you know, connected with it better, and that if she had that, she would have loved to have that. But she's clearly a feminist. She's friends, all her friends, she's got this harem, if that's the right word, of female best friends who are all
Swifties,
gorgeous looking.
No, sorry,
close.
We're 50s.
We're 50s. She's friends with the likes of supermodel Carly Kloss and Selena Gomez and all these really gorgeous looking other women. So she supports other women, and I think that by definition makes her a feminist.
Right, okay. Here's one here that says she'd watch the show Taylor does with Def Leppard. I've heard about it, I haven't seen it, called Crossroads. Amazing. She has become a guilty pleasure for Dave and Sentry.
Yeah, I suppose she is a guilty pleasure. For me, she was always somebody, and this has been happening to me for years, and if you get to see that Swift of Mine sketch, if anyone watches it, it's what it's about is how you're sitting there going, that's an amazing tune, and then you go, what? It's Taylor Swift. So that's been happening to me for the last couple of years.
Does it help that she's kind of a bit grounded as well, in terms of like maybe superstar and all the rest of it, but like she does, she's become more grown up and sophisticated and got a new accent, etc., and very stylish. She's not afraid to admit that she's still a nerd.
Yeah, she seems to be actually quite happy to admit that. And then I wonder about that. Is that something that young women of a particular age seem to like? Because Jennifer Lawrence is a bit like that as well. You know, there's a bit of sort of, I'm so goofy and I'm normal and I'm a bit of a nerd. So I think that's probably true, although she seems to have her social life and her relationships seem to keep her very busy. So maybe she just, in her downtime, she likes to be a nerd.
Okay, so listen, you like her, so it's cool to like her, obviously. And she's got loads of celebrity friends and everybody seems to fall in love with her, and there's the amount of names thinking she's great and great songwriter and great musician, etc. But she's even got a mention in Barack Obama's White House Correspondents' Dinner speech last year, which usually involves a few light-hearted jibes at some famous people. She didn't escape the president's jokes. I'll just give you a little bit of a blast here. Look.
The point of my charm offensive is simple. We need to make progress on some important issues. Take the sequester. Republicans fell in love with this thing, and now they can't stop talking about how much they hate it. It's like we're trapped in a Taylor Swift album.
Do you like that? Yeah.
That's very good.
Okay, well then, why do you love her, Larissa? Like, I know, like, your musical taste, currently you've just been saying there, something was playing, Arcade Fire, Patti Smith, The Pixies, Amy Winehouse, all pretty non-Taylor-like music artists, I suppose. You're not some impressionable tweenie, so why have you fallen under her spell?
I wish I could understand that. I don't really understand why, except I think maybe, for me, it's about melody and, you know, I'd be a big fan of Crowded House and early Madonna stuff, so it maybe fits in with that as well. I'm actually not sure what it is about her. I'm not even sure that it is trendy to like her anymore, you know, or trendy to like her yet, because a lot of people who would listen to the same kind of music as I do can't understand this at all and ask me that question, why do you like her? I can't put a finger on it. But I think it might just be melody.
It might just be melody. Do you know, like, this business of like a style icon and all that? Just been told, like, Vogue magazine, she was the cover of Vogue as the American icon of style 5 years ago now at this stage, or 4 years ago. So she's been at it for a while now.
Yeah, well, she has always had, when she turned from that big hair and the crazy guitar hanging out of her all the time, she did then show that she had her own style. She's been on the cover of so many magazines as Woman of the Year, Music of the Year. I mean, it's actually incredible. She is a phenomenon. She is like a walking 5'10" lanky, long-legged.
Good pins.
She certainly does. She's got good everything. Yeah. I mean, she's just beautiful, talented, tall, everything.
Do we know what she's going to do for 2015 if 2014 was as big as it can be?
This is it. How can she top it? Because she had an album out in 2014, so I don't know what she's going to pull out of the bag in 2015, but I'd say it's a case with Taylor of watch this space.
Okay, watch this space. She is appearing in Dublin soon.
That's true.
I should have the dates, shouldn't I?
It's June. I think she's in June or July.
Obviously, tickets sold out in 2 seconds.
In the Three Arena. And I didn't even know the tickets were on sale. I don't think a lot of people knew the tickets were on sale. They were gone. Yeah. 2 days in. Two nights in an hour.
Kind of show, because I've seen all the Katy Perry and the Lady Gaga ones. They just put on this big, huge extravaganza thing.
Yeah, it seems to be a little bit different than that. From what I've seen from, you know, being there, now that I'm a fan, looking at her live on YouTube and things like that, she seems to just put on this big, it's not about dressing up in, you know, Katy Perry dresses up in crazy outfits and
I
stuff
was just
like that.
Going to say the Katy Perry's thing is when it goes, haven't they got a bit of the two of them a bit of a spat in public?
Yeah, I think they did, and I'm not sure because I know that Taylor Swift said recently that people were always pitching women against each other, and she saw that as another sexist thing.
Yeah,
you know, between that and picking her up and writing about relationships, she reckons that's sexist as well. But I think there was something about Katy Perry. Katy Perry called her Regina George. Do you ever see Mean Girls? You know the movie Mean Girls, a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I think the bully in it is called Regina George.
All right, okay.
And there was some sort of quote.
Katy Perry calls Taylor Swift Regina George.
She called her Regina George, as in she's just this kind of, you know, nasty bully. So I don't know what that was about, really.
Okay, well, the big thing on the calendar in terms of a live gig is, of course, on February the 1st this year. It's always the end of January, which is the, what do you call it, the World Series, whatever you call that. The Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Super Bowl.
And the middle bit is the big thing because, like, you play to over 100 million people. What am I talking about? Madonna, Beyonce, they've all done it lately. And of course, the big names, U2 and Bruce Springsteen and the Stones have all done it too. But who's doing it on February the 1st? Not Taylor Swift. Katy Perry.
People
are thinking that Katy Perry might burn an effigy of Taylor on stage. Who knows? All right, well, listen, let's see what happens. I mean, look at me. I'm trying to fuel it. You see, it's ridiculous. Anyway.
I don't like Katy Perry's dressy up thing. I think that's such a novelty and it's so boring. I just love the way Taylor is just
making
music.
Yeah, I saw her at the O2 and I was upstairs at this little room she had sort of taken off. And you should see the room. It's bizarre. It was just... As the stage, it's Katy Perry. There was sweets of Smarties and M&M's, tables and tables and tables of cakes. It was just for the crew. Like, it was just for the people. Did they eat this every night?
She's like a gay man in a woman's body.
All right, on that note, we'll be back with her then in a few weeks' time when she's talking the thing. Thanks a million, Larissa Nolan, for talking up, Taylor. Which one would you like to hear from Taylor? Wrapping presents for fans in a New York apartment or making a surprise visit to a fan for Christmas?
We'll do the surprise visit.
Okay.
There's this wonderful girl named Steph who I've met before, but she has a tiny young son named Layton who she posts videos of all the time. And I've never gotten to meet him before. So I guess we're just going to go and drive to Connecticut and bring Layton some Christmas presents.
They have no idea we're coming. They're supposed to be home because they think that there's a package being dropped off by UPS, but UPS is me.